Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and may He be exalted more and more in our lives. Amen. Wow. What a blessing to worship in the house of God this morning with each other. This is an exciting time, exciting day for all of us, with the ones that are getting baptized. And so we have three: Martha Hirschberger, Stephen Semple, and Malachi Stolz, who is planned to be baptized this morning. So let's rejoice with them. And in the beginning here, I want to just share. I don't want to take too much time, but I do want to share from the Word of God a little bit and then give time for testimony. But the title of my message is Life, a Gift of God, comma, Live in the Present. And the present is a gift, but also it's important we do live in the moment of obedience or the enjoyment of what God is doing. So the gift of life is truly from God. It is a gift. You're not here by mistake this morning. You're not breathing by mistake. God still has a purpose for you. He still has a plan for you. And it is ultimately up to you how far you want to go with God. And maybe this will make more sense as we go on. But in the beginning here, I want to share a little testimony, personal testimony, not to distract, but just to bring out a little bit of where this stemmed from. This was when, and I asked Cheyenne for permission here if I could share this, so I'll make it as brief as I can. But just a testimony of her swing accident a month ago. This morning, we took the breathing machine off. So anyway, as we were going through that time where she fell and hit the back of her head. Later, we discovered she had a fractured skull with three places on her brain that she was bleeding. 20 minutes, we waited on the ambulance. This was a Saturday afternoon. Everybody else, all the other ambulances were busy, and one came from a little further away. So we waited 20 minutes, which was a long wait, and a 20-minute ride to the hospital. And when we got to the hospital, they were busy. They had three traumas. It was 1, 2, and 3. We were number 2. And we walked into got off the ambulance, rolled the stretcher into the trauma center. And from what I understand, there's usually 12 people in a V, ready, prepared. As soon as you open that door, they split and the stretcher comes between them and they start working on the patient. We walked in the door and there was nobody prepared. They literally ask us, "What are you here for?" And the ambulance driver was like, "Really, I confirmed this twice." And it just, no fault on the hospital, it was a mistake. They were busy. They assumed we were number 1. And here we come, and they didn't think 2 was here yet. So here my wife and I are, nobody's ready. They're still finishing up with the other patient. The ambulance guy walks down the hallway, walks right up to the head nurse and said, "Listen, we need help now. This girl is injured. She's not responding well. We need help now." So we turned around and came the whole way back to the trauma center. And within a couple minutes, they were on her. Then ultimately, we got flown to Hershey with a chopper. But standing there in the midst of it, when they're taking the machines from the hospital stretcher to the chopper stretcher, it was another long wait. I realized how precious my faith is in God. I realized how precious trusting the Lord is. There was absolutely nothing my wife and I could do to help the situation except pray. And some of you know what we're talking about because you've been in these situations. When you know there is no solution, there's nothing I can do with my hands, there's nothing I can do to make the situation better except my faith and trust in God. And it was tried. I wasn't doubting, but truly it was tried in both of us. And so as she leaves with the chopper, you know, you had to work with fears. This is a real situation, right? Will I ever talk with her again? Will I ever play with her again? Will she ever be able to communicate? And I just had to say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." she's in your hands. And we through it all, we became good friends with a pastor from India, which was a chaplain there in Hershey. And as she rolled in with the stretcher, she came in as a level one, which is most serious. And he found this out, and he went down right away to where she's coming in. And as soon as she rolled in, he started praying for her. He prayed for her, laid hands on her, prayed for her. And then he came up to us after they took her, and he shared with us. And so we were told we would know in about 20 minutes. It went an hour. And you don't know. You don't know what's happening. But there again, you just trust God. And so this morning, as God does moves in our lives, and then he does something wonderful, right? In these three hearts, he does something wonderful in your life. Today, trust and faith is going to be established in a deeper way in your hearts. This may look like maybe insignificant, but I just told you three this morning as we met before our time together, I said, there's a whole host watching you today. As you take this step of obedience, there's a whole heavenly realm that's watching you and cheering you on. We believe that this morning. And as you walk through it with obedience and take this step of faith, you're going to think back to these times. Because truly, God reminded me in that moment of what he had done prior a few times since I gave my life to Christ. And there was a strength there. It was just a promise there. And then he gave me a verse in Psalms 91 where it says, he'll give his angels charge over thee. And I inserted China's name and I said, it's all up to you. Your angels have charge over her. And what a comfort, what a blessing that we can come to God and just trust him in faith. I want to thank you for your prayers. I don't know if I've expressed this, but it made me realize how important it is to reach out to someone that's in a situation and tell them you're praying for them. It meant so much. Thank you. Not only to us, but to the situation, your God answered your prayer. By Sunday morning, we had the breathing machine off. By Sunday afternoon, we had the really uncomfortable neck brace off. And your prayer was answered early Sunday morning. I asked Shiana, she wanted to get up, she would wake up, and then she would start pulling stuff. And I just leaned down to her stretcher, and I said, Shiana, can you lay down? And I didn't know where she was at that point, and she just shook her head like this. And that was the first time I knew she communicated with me. And anyway, just that precious moment of just, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I can say this morning, this has made me trust God more, or helped me trust God more for situations. Then a brother, and I want to get into the word here, but just then a brother reminded me, a brother-in-law, he said, years ago, when you gave your life to Jesus, and I'm thinking of you, three, when you gave your life to Jesus, I remember a prayer that you prayed. He said, you asked the Lord to press you. So may God press us. I'm not asking for situations, but may he press us to the point that we trust in Him and have full faith in Him. Amen. Whatever situation, you're in Reggie's situation this morning or those pastors, whatever situation it is, what a blessing to be able to trust God this morning and to believe in Him. Turn with me to Romans 5, and we're going to go through the Word this morning. I want to read some scripture this morning that hopefully will give us a picture how we can trust God and how we can, the beautiful plan of salvation as it's here in the Word in Romans 5, 6, and then we want to go on to Colossians a little bit at the end. But again, life is a gift of God. It truly is a gift of God. And as we live it out, let's live it in the present. But also truly the life of Christ is truly a gift. We're going to be reading from 5, 8 to 21. So here it gives an illustration of how we can pass. How can we pass from death or sin to the newness of life in the next two chapters here? So Romans 5, starting in verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sometimes that's hard for us to imagine, right? That He had such love and mercy that while we were yet lost, while we were yet sinners, He laid out a plan before us, and Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. What is that wrath? What is that wrath that He's talking about? Quite frankly, this morning, if it wouldn't have been for the blood of Jesus, for the plan of salvation, we would be doomed. And that's our hope. That's our hope that I hear coming through worship when we exalt Jesus and we say, it is only through Christ. That is our hope. That is the wrath that we escaped. Our penalty was hell, and Jesus, through His love, gave Himself for us. Verse 10, for when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we now have received the atonement. Praise God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world through Adam, right? And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. We need a remedy. We're in an era when we need a remedy between Adam and Moses. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses when the law was established in a greater way, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. It was a serious consequence for Adam to sin and Eve, but so much more, as that sin affected many after them, so much more will Jesus Christ affect many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Praise God. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, it happened at the beginning, unfortunately, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank you, Jesus. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see the wrath that was to come upon us unless we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And we see how much more emphasis is made on the life of Christ and through this man called Jesus. Because he's the one. I loved how Aaron last Sunday, said something about they didn't kill Jesus, but he gave his life. He just willingly gave it. It wasn't something that was demanded of him. He freely gave his life. And so, as we think about this morning, may we picture it that way, that you don't have to, but you can give your life to Christ. I should maybe rephrase that. It says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is a calling to that. But you have a choice to make to give your life to Jesus Christ, to escape the great wrath that was poured out, because God is a holy God, and in him is holiness. And we sang this morning about being washed white as snow. Doesn't matter where you come from, and you'll hear this today, doesn't matter where you come from, Jesus Christ can wash you white as snow. I was going to say it's unbelievable, but it is believable. That is amazing. That is truly a gift that Jesus wants to give to us. So it was one man that committed that. Let's go on into one man, Adam, that committed that sin, and then Jesus. God had a plan to redeem that, to redeem the souls to him. Romans 6, let's just go into that. 1 to 23, we see the believer being a new creation in Christ. And my goal this morning is that the Word of God would speak to us and give us a clear picture of the repentance, giving your life to Jesus, and living for him. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? There was a point made this morning in our time together. The significance of baptism today. Now picture yourself if you were in another country where there's many being persecuted for their faith. What you would be doing this morning could mean the death penalty on your life. A serious decision, a serious commitment. Much value in the kingdom of God in what we're seeing today and what we plan to do. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Praise God. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield ye yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as right instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. Very good reminder to those of us who have committed our life to the Lord and have walked through in obedience the water baptism. This can happen. This can happen that we yield our instruments to unrighteousness. But this is a good reminder this morning to us again, afresh, that we can walk under grace when we commit ourselves to righteousness and to the Lord. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Wow. How can it become more clear? Whatever you give yourself to this morning is what you're servant to. Whoever you give yourself to, Satan or to Jesus, you are a servant of one or the other, according to the Word of God. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, or in human terms in this verse. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a blessing. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And so we see the remedy for the newness of life. All things are become new. The renewing of the mind after there's repentance of sin in our life. And we may ask ourselves the question like Adam did or Eve. Is this really sin? Hath God said not to eat of that fruit? Is that really sin? Right there, you probably crossed the threshold towards sin. If it's not for the glory of God, it will not bring life into your soul. Sin will keep a person from living in the present, from living in the moment. A hindrance to that life of Christ, a hindrance to salvation, working daily in your lives or in your life. Salvation is a gift from God. It is life to us. The only way through, only through salvation in Jesus can we live in the present. And certainly there will be a contentment there. In Philippians 2:12 it says, work out, we talked about this in Bible study last week. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so whatever God works in us through salvation, we then work it out. For it is, the next verse goes on, for it is God which worketh in you both to do will and to do good, and to do of his good pleasure. Let me say that again. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to work that in us in a very real way. So as he works it in us, he depends on us to work it out. What he has worked, his Holy Spirit, what he has worked inside of us, I can't explain all of that to you this morning, and I don't know if anybody in here really can explain what happens. What gave a desire to the three that are being baptized this morning? How did that happen? Why didn't he pick all the rest of us? Or whatever. How does that happen? That happens through the Holy Spirit's work. So what God works in us through the work of his Holy Spirit, it now is a gift to us, and now we work it out daily in our lives. Follow through with working it out. Yield yourselves unto righteousness, we heard before. You yield yourselves to that. And just that walking in that contentment of just staying with God. It was mentioned this morning about the simplicity of the gospel. My, let's just make it simple. Let's keep life simple. It is only through Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. Let's embrace that this morning. Yes, we have stuff we can read. Books. We can listen to podcasts. All those things are good in their place. And I'm not condemning that. But I'm saying at the highest peak, at the highest priority, let's keep it simple. It's Jesus Christ that set me free, and it's him that will sustain me. And it's him that we're going to, he's going to come back for us just shortly. I don't know how long it'll be, but oh my, let's prepare to meet him. May the bride make herself ready for the Lord Jesus. And that's my encouragement this morning, is to just yield ourselves to God. Make him Lord of our lives. Let's go to Colossians 1, and we'll read from 9 to 23. And just gives a picture of being buried with him in baptism. And how we can... Here's Paul again, just encouraging the church in Colossae how they should walk this out. And today, baptism gives a picture of a burial and a resurrection. The old man dies, the new man rises up. And it just gives that picture of really what happens in the spiritual realm when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And something shifts, something changes because of your trust and faith in Jesus, the one who gave himself for us, the one who shed his blood for us, because there was no remedy at that point yet. But Jesus came, died on the cross, and through the blood of the cross, we're going to read about this later in Colossians here, through the blood of the cross, it made peace. It made perfection. In my heart, in your heart, in our hearts together. Praise God. Starting in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Wow. Who is the image of the invisible, the firstborn of every creature. Here's who he is for us. And by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things we might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, listen to this, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. All things, everything. By him I say, whether there be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Condition here. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard. So here's the part where you work out your salvation. It is our duty that we continue in the faith, the trust in God, believing in him for your situations, for whatever is going on in here. Those are things that we can't see in each other. Sometimes they're visible. The people closest to you can tell. Our wives can probably tell the best what's going on in here. But God sees everything this morning. He knows exactly what's going on inside here. And you know what? He's the best person to talk to about it. Because he has a solution for my turmoil. And through Jesus Christ, he can bring a settledness in our hearts. Going on in the chapter 2 there, in verse 12, we'll just pick a verse and we're going to go on to 3. He says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And going right into 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And this is my encouragement to you all today, you three, and the rest of us, but especially to the three that are committing this, or that are committing themselves to this. Let the word of God be your lifestyle. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead in sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I saw something this morning in the three as we sat in the back room. I saw a total clarity, just a freshness. Like, I am so clear before God. And may you treasure that. May you be jealous about that and be vigilant and diligent in that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify there your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wow. Put on the new man. Put on the new man, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Here he says again, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're seeing how to work out our own salvation before God. We do have a responsibility in this. Because when he sets us free, we are no longer free to sin, but we are free to worship him. we are free to live for Him. Absolutely free. Where before, there wasn't a freedom to worship Him because we saw it hinders, sin hinders the freedom to worship. So this morning, if we don't have a freedom to worship, let us come before the Lord and ask, what is it that hinders me from worshiping You? And He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, I love these next two verses. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, the peace of God. When things are out of control. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Then He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Just the fact of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And that's my encouragement to you. Let the Word of Christ lead your path. Just that beauty of God changing a heart when He spends time in the Word and devotion to the Lord. It is truly our bread from day to day. One more verse here. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Another verse I like to use here, further down in 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Praise God. Do it heartily with joy because of what He's done. And then verse 24 yet. Let's just go on there. Knowing that the Lord ye shall receive, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Part of that inheritance is just truly that contentment in our hearts. When we give ourselves to Christ and there's a peace that comes on our hearts, part of that inheritance is just truly that contentment that He gives us. So do it heartily as unto the Lord. Make Him Lord of your life. Live in the presence. Make Him Lord of your decisions, your trials, your refining, your blessings. Let Him be Lord of those. Give Him your all. Give Him your allegiance. Just allow Him to lead your life. Allow Him to lead your life. Give Him your respect, your honor, your devotion, your time, your dreams. We sang about that this morning, your ambitions. Just keep it simple and let Him be Lord. Let Him be Lord of your life. Because you know what? According to what we read earlier in the chapter here in Colossians, He is the head of all things. He's going to have the final word. And I can deny it. I can try to slip away from it. I can try to negotiate my dreams and my ambitions or my sin. I can try to negotiate that. But ultimately, He knows it. And He's going to have the final word to what happens with that. So we serve an almighty God. And He says, when He cleanses us, He cleanses us white as snow. He washes us white as snow. But we confess, I'm sorry. I give You my life. I give You my life. And then You can be Lord over my life. A couple questions that we put out there to the three that are being baptized today is three. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died and rose again for the remission of your sins? And then the other one was, have you repented of all known sin and surrendered your all to Jesus? The third one, is it your desire to follow Jesus and go wherever He may lead you? To go wherever he may lead you. And so that takes a yielded spirit, that takes a heart that is submitted to the Lordship of Christ, and truly a person that is willing to do what the Master says. A person that is under the control of another and being disciplined or discipled. The love of Christ constraineth me. Willing to be led, willing to follow. And so my encouragement to you is continue to walk in that. Walk humbly. Make him Lord of your life. You've been bought with a price. It took a life to be able to make this happen today. It took a life. It took death from a person to make this happen today. For that victory, that freedom. So why baptism? You're making a declaration to the seen and the unseen, the spiritual world. You're expressing outwardly of the faith that is already in you. You're just affirming that what already happened today. This baptism doesn't save you. I know Mel read that, but it was referring to Jesus Christ in your life and then sealing it with baptism. Following through with obedience. Praise God. So I just want to give you time to express your testimonies, and then we'll go on down to the creek. But I want to bless you. And this is your story, just a short part of what happened in your life so far, and where you were, what happened, and your commitment to where you are today. So.